Welcome to a podcast presentation from Nurse Educator. I'm Dr. Richard Pullen, editorial board member of Journal. Today, I have the pleasure of speaking with Dr. Priscilla Stansel, Dr. Donna Paris, and Dr. Rebecca Clark. Dr. Stansel is associate professor at Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center School of Nursing. She teaches in the BSN program. Her research interests include long-term care, simulation, and mental health. Dr. Paris is associate professor at Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center School of Nursing. She teaches in the BSN program. Dr. Paris's research interests are interprofessional collaboration, culture, and diversity, and simulation. Dr. Clark is assistant professor at Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center School of Nursing. She teaches in the BSN program. Dr. Clark's research interests include mental health across the lifespan, electronic health records, and decreasing stigma and barriers in nursing. Well, today's topic is very important. Using simulation to teach medication reconciliation and translate didactic to clinical. Well, before we begin the interview, I want to congratulate Dr. Stansel, Dr. Paris, and Dr. Clark for having this topic published in Nurse Educator. Welcome, Dr. Stansel, Dr. Paris, and Dr. Clark.
Thank you so much for having us today.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Pullen.
We're happy to be here. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining us on this most important topic. Well, you know, when I think of medication administration and all that it entails, I'm always thinking about safety, and rightly so. Well, Priscilla, what is medication reconciliation, and what should it include?
Well, Richard, that's a great question. I'm really glad that you asked that. And yes, patient safety is very, very important. So actually, the Institute for Healthcare Improvement has defined medication reconciliation as, actually this process of creating an accurate list of all the possible medications that a patient could be taking. So this would include things like the drug name, the dosage, the frequency, and the route. And so once this list is created, we're going to compare that list against the physician's admission, the transfer and the discharge orders. So those admission, transfer, and discharge orders. And the goal of this is to provide the most correct list and do this at all transition points within the hospital. And so you might be wondering, what are these transition points? Well, this includes different healthcare settings, such as the physician's office, maybe the hospital. You know, we have patients in different nursing facilities, the home. So those are different transition points. It's really, important to have these accurate medication reconciliations. So that is what a medication reconciliation, that is what it should include. But not just prescription medications. It also needs to include those over-the-counter meds, also herbal supplements. So great question.
Thank you. A good deal. With the complexity of patient care these days requiring nurses to have a higher level of critical thinking, because patients are more sick, chronic illness is very common, and we're called to have a more global approach to caring, because there's so much chronic illness, and medications are often a part of treating these chronic illnesses. And so I see that communication has become even more and more important between the nurse and all of the other members of the interprofessional team. So good deal. Thank you, Priscilla, for answering
that
question. Priscilla, let's see, I have another follow-up question. How does, let's extend this a little more. How does medication reconciliation improve patient outcomes?
Oh, that's a great question. And really does tie into patient safety. So, you know, completing the medication reconciliation, it really does help to reduce medication errors. And it does this by helping to reduce adverse events and patient harm. And when we complete these medication errors, it's important that we do these in a standardized manner. You know, I mentioned earlier, you know, we're completing these, you know, the medication reconciliation at all different points in patient care at these transition points. So they must be done in a standardized manner. They need to be accurate. They need to be reliable in order to prevent errors. So one thing that we found in the literature was that one of the Joint Commission's high priority patient safety goals is actually to ensure that all patients are provided a medication reconciliation. Medication reconciliation actually enhances patient safety by identifying and addressing discrepancies that are often found on medication lists of hospitalized patients. I know that, you know, oftentimes, you know, patients are on duplicate medications because they are unaware of the difference between the generic and the brand name.
Good point.
So, you know, it's really important that we are, like I said, you know, completing them in an accurate and reliable manner. So like I mentioned, medication reconciliation reduces these medication discrepancies, which also may reduce adverse patient outcomes, hospital readmission, emergency department visits, and in turn, excess healthcare costs. So.
Well, good deal. No doubt that there's enhanced patient outcomes, and that many patients, as you know, are on many medications. In fact, that can be a very good thing in treating illnesses, but they also can cause problems with interactions. And in fact, side effects of medications can be a chronic illness. Managing medications can be a full-time job too, just like an illness. And I'm glad you also mentioned, and I think there's not enough emphasis out there in the literature, not only on prescription, but the non-prescription medications, the over-the-counter medications and herbs and all of those other things that can interact with prescription medicines. And so what a great opportunity, not only for patient safety, but teaching patients too about medications. Thank you so much for answering my question. Let's see, Donna, let me ask you, what is the role of the educator and how are faculty teaching medication reconciliation in simulation?
Well, thank you, Richard. As you know, we've been talking about the fact that medication errors remain a priority concern despite many changes in institutional processes over the last several years. So educators need to step in. And so they have a very important central role in bringing this to the attention of the future nurse early in their career. So at our institution, first semester nursing students, so basically about their junior year, they participate in a simulation-based experience involving a patient in a transition of care that requires medication reconciliation. So the way we do it at our institution is that students role play to engage in the process of medication reconciliation with a focus on analgesic medications. Mm-hmm. This would include both over-the-counter medications such as acetaminophen, but also narcotics such as hydrocodone.
Mm-hmm.
So one nurse or one student will play the role of the patient, and another one or two students will role play nurses who are actually interviewing the patient. And then the student nurses will assess the list of medication that the patient brings in, and they'll inspect a bag of medications that are provided by the patient while completing the medication reconciliation form. So it's very true to life to what you might find in a hospital or a clinic.
Well, it sounds like the simulation, some concepts that you're teaching, not only communication between the nurse and the patient, but also the reconciliation process is a part of interprofessional with the pharmacy and the other members of the healthcare team. But perhaps the student's knowledge of the medication, of all the medications, and perhaps even higher level, how all those individual medications, how they might interact with each other, and also with the patient's clinical status. So there's a higher level of critical thinking in that scenario. Well, good
but
deal.
But that's really...
Yes, go ahead.
That's really true, Richard. What we find is that once the role play is complete, then we have all of the students work together in order to interpret what did they find? Okay, were there any issues?
Sure.
Were there any problems? Were there any risks for drug errors? And so usually the students find that the process is pretty complicated and pretty time consuming. But they do have an increased risk about the importance of the task, and that's really what we want to do with this process. And I think the other thing that happens is that students really develop a firsthand knowledge about the dangers of polypharmacy. Not just exceeding the dose of narcotics, but also what happens when they exceed the dose of medication such as acetaminophen.
Yes, absolutely. It sounds like there, again, it's a high-level critical thinking experience, and perhaps intense, and it's also very much an engaging experience. And students learn, as I mentioned earlier, that polypharmacy obviously is a healthcare problem and creates additional problems aside from the physical or mental conditions that the patient is initially being treated. It's a major health problem. What a great high-impact learning experience that you have created for your students. Thank you, Donna.
Thank you, Richard.
Absolutely. Well, Rebecca, what interventions should be included in medication reconciliation?
I really like this question, Richard, because it gives us the opportunity to highlight a skill that we use in nursing, our interventions. And so thank you for asking. Once the patient's medication list has been reviewed, the nurse should clarify any medication-related problems and follow that up with accurate communication with the healthcare providers. So another key point in medication reconciliation is the education of the patient and family members about the patient's list of medications. And so students at our level of introduction of this concept find this challenging, as many times it's their first opportunity to teach. And this, again, allows us as facilitators the opportunity to introduce and grow the skill of educating patients, since it's also such an important part of our practice and this process.
Yes.
An interprofessional intervention that could be included would be the patient's pharmacist. And that allows for a close in the loop of communication between providers. And also the pharmacist can greatly assist and be a vital key to assisting the patient and providers with medication safety. So another interprofessional is the social worker. For example, in our simulation, the patient is not taking the medication as prescribed due to the cost. There are many avenues one could take with the simulation that offers a variety of learning opportunities regarding medication reconciliation. And this also helps the students start to grasp the importance of a thorough medication reconciliation.
Well, good deal. I was thinking as the three of you were sharing your simulation process, I was thinking when I still remember the first medications I gave as a nursing student, and that was back in October 1977. And things, administration of medication, preparing medication, things have changed dramatically and for the better with technology we have available. And it's a good thing that we have all of this wonderful technology and this wonderful teaching tool of simulation that we have for novice students such as yours. But it's something that your students, once they graduate with their BSN, they're still going to be involved in simulation as nurses in practice. But I'm so glad that we have simulation and all this technology for ongoing education, because compared to 1977 or 77, when I first gave medications as a student, patients are so much more ill, and it's requiring nurses, because of the complexity of patient illnesses, it's requiring a higher level thinking, critical thinking, registered nurse than when I was a student. Well, I know that the three of you are doing great things with your students, and I appreciate you spending time with us sharing little nuggets of your simulation. And I encourage our listeners to read your article in Nurse Educator and glean some information that they can use in their own nursing programs. And it could be a nursing program in the university. It could be in the community college, RNs, LVNs, LPNs, anyone, nurses who administer medication. Thank you so much for sharing your expertise with listeners.
Richard, thank you so much for having us today.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you so much. This ends the podcast.